Into this lesson this evening, and we've entitled this series of messages called Speak the Word Only. And the messages are available on CD or DVD, or you can just download them from the internet. They're free of charge. Amen. And we're believing God for increase in that area, increase in monies to support it. And he said the money will come and the people will come. Well, I expect it to increase. Amen. Let's jump to John 3:16 and let's read 3:16, 17, and 18 this evening. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Hallelujah. Now, on Sunday, we were sharing a message entitled Kingdom Lifestyle. And as we were concluding that message, there was a scripture that I referenced in John. Let's turn there for a moment. John, you're right there. John, in chapter 3, we're right there. Look at verse 30. In verse 30 in John chapter 3, it says, he's talking about Jesus, the Father, Father God, he must increase, but I must decrease. And the heart of God is that we give him the preeminence, that we give him the most important place. And one of the things, let me read from some other translations here, just a few. In the Good News Translation, it says, he must become more important while I must become less important. He must become more important and I must become less important. That's another way of saying he must increase and we must decrease. The word decrease means to become less in dignity, to decrease in popularity. Well, that's another way of just saying he's supposed to be the one out there in front. He's the one to be exalted and I'm supposed to be less exalted. And one of the things the Holy Ghost just put in my heart, I had never saw it this particular way, but he said, when he is increasing and you're decreasing, he said, his word in your mouth is increasing and what's coming out of your mouth is decreasing. You understand what I mean? All the stuff and the junk and the stuff that's just kind of spewing out, that's decreasing, and his word in your mouth is increasing. And I said, oh yeah, thank you for reminding me that, because sometimes it's not that way. Sometimes our thoughts are coming out, our ways, our attitudes are coming up and out, and they need to be reduced. They need to be squelched, you see, because it can have an effect upon your life. Now, if you would, we're going to spend a few moments tonight. Let's go over to the book of James, in James chapter 1. And I want us to look at this. We've entitled this message tonight, Saying What He Said. If you need a title and you need to go into bookstore, that's what the title is. James chapter 1 and verse 21. It says, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. I like the way the King James uses these words. And receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Verse 22. But be ye, that means you, doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh, into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Verse 26, if any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is in vain. Anybody know what a... Well, I know we live in the East. So most folks... I came from... Well, I was born in California, and I lived in the Midwest. I lived in Illinois for a while. I rode horses a little bit, so I've been on some horses. So I kind of know what a horse is in some of the parts, but I'm not really what I would call an experienced horse rider, but I have ridden horses, and it's a lot of fun. But anybody know what a bridle is as opposed to a bit? You know what a bridle is? Okay, so some people do. A bridle is really either a leather or a cloth strap that's on the side of the horse, and then there's some reins that come up the back, and then a bit is what goes in the mouth, right? So the bridle is what steers the horse. That's it. You pull it and you steer the horse, right? So you could say a bridle, in a sense, is like a steering wheel on a car, right? That's what steers the horse. So if you're kind of chugging along and you want to go this way, you're going to pull on the reins, right? And that pulls his head in a direction. Well, we ought to have a bridle on our tongue. So we can steer the conversations and the words that come out of our mouth, right? And that says here, if you bridle not your tongue, you deceive your own heart. See, so we need to watch what comes out of our mouth, and this says we need to bridle it. Deceiving, if you look that word up, it means to delude yourself. The person that's deceived really thinks they're right, but they're not. And they think they're right. They actually think they're right. And they're deceived. And so a bridle can hold something in check. You know, even when you're, I would say it this way also, that when you are riding a horse, you can snap the reins and that'll do something. You can pull it or you can steer it. So a bridle will hold something in check. You understand what I mean by that? So we're to have a bridle on our tongues. Let me read this in some other translations here. This is the good news. It says, if you do not control your tongue, your religion is worthless and you deceive yourself. This is the New Living Translation. It says, if you claim to be religious but don't control your tongue, you are just fooling yourself and your religion is worthless. The NIV says, if anyone considers himself religious, and I like this, this is good. It says, and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. So we're to keep a tight rein on our tongue. So that means we need to watch what's being coming out of the mouth. We need to think about that. So when we talk about being a doer of the word, you know, most of us, we've been teaching on faith and confession and so forth for a while, but being the first way of being a doer is saying the word. That is the first thing, you would say, in somebody being a doer of the word. See, because if you're just believing and not saying anything, then you're mentally assenting to it. You're saying, oh, yeah, that's a nice thing. Sure, right. Mm-hmm. But I'm not confessing that. So you don't believe it. So the first place way of doing the word is confessing it, saying it. And so being a doer is somebody who is going to say or confess the word of God. And what you meditate on and what you think on is what you're going to speak. And so a lot of times, for me, I'll listen a lot to what people are saying, and they'll just be gabbing along, and you know what they're thinking about because it's what they're talking about. They're just going a mile a minute, and you kind of hone right in on what it is they're either excited about or, you know, upset about. They're going to be talking about it, just running their mouth. And you're going to know, you're going to pinpoint, okay, I know what's up. And so you can see that. So what the Lord is saying here in His Word is that what, in other words, in verse 22 of James 1, when it says, be doers of the Word and not hearers only, the Good News Translation says, do not deceive yourselves by just listening to His Word. Instead, put it into practice. How do you put it into practice? Saying it. Saying it. Now, that is one way. There are other ways, and that is you set out and you do something. You see. But the primary way is to say it. And you say it long enough, you're going to do something. You're going to act out what you're saying. What you're saying is things that you're meditating on, you get it down in your heart, and you're going to say something. And you say it long enough, you know this, you say something long enough, you're going to do it. You're going to act it out. And so they're both ways of doing the word, is doing something and saying something. So let's turn over to James 2. Right there, let's jump over to James 2. In James 2, and at verse 7, it says, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I'll show thee my faith by my works. Huh? Oop, where am I at? I'm on 18. Sorry. What did I say? 7? Okay. So I meant 17. Sorry about that. You're awake. That's good. And I'm reading the wrong... I gave you the wrong verse. Okay. So let's start. Verse 17. All right. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. So just faith without works is dead, and being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead. And you can look that up. That just means that there's a corresponding action to your faith. And when faith comes, we all know this. When faith comes and we begin to see something, what is usually the first response? You start talking about it. You start saying it. Because what happens? You see something. Faith has come. So faith, usually the first primary response is to start talking about it. And then once you start talking about it, you're moving in that direction. So faith without works is dead. If you see something, if you begin to see something in God's Word and there's not a response, it's not faith. because it said, faith without some corresponding action is dead. See. Verse 21, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Verse 22, seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by faith, by works, a man is justified, and not by faith only. And we know that. Think about that. It says, if any man believe in his heart, with the heart man believeth, and with what? With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So there's a corresponding action to what somebody believes in their heart, you see. And what happens? And then there is salvation. There's a fulfillment of that. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? Verse 26, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. So this body without the spirit is dead. So you could say it's faith is, you know, what's giving the substance to a glove? It's the hand in it. See? So faith without works is dead. And there has to be a corresponding action. The God's Word translation says, a body that doesn't breathe is dead. In the same way, faith that does nothing is dead. Boy, that's as plain as you can get. Faith that does nothing is dead. Faith that doesn't confess what it believes is dead. What does that mean? That means you won't receive anything. Nothing. You said nothing, you get nothing. No fruit. You say nothing, you get nothing. There's no works, so you get nothing. The New Century Version says, just as a person's body that does not have a spirit is dead, so faith that does nothing is dead. Wow. So you can't blame God and say, oh God, I'm waiting on the Lord. Really? Okay. So if you're doing nothing, you get nothing. If you're saying nothing, if you're releasing, think of it this way, your words are the fruit of your faith. When you see something, there needs to be a byproduct, and it's your words. It's the fruit of your faith. Let's turn to James 3. James chapter 3. And let's look at verse 1. It says, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. Now listen, let's look closely here. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle some of the body. It says the whole body. Now a bridle, remember what we're saying, a bridle can steer and change the direction of your whole body. It can control the whole body. What can? What comes out of the words that come out of your mouth? That can affect the whole body. Says, behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever who listeth, the governor. That's the person in the ship, steering the ship. Who's in his body? I am. So I'm the one who's supposed to be steering the direction for my life. At God's giving me the overall goal, but he's saying, go this way. I'm speaking the direction, God's direction for my life. I'm decreeing that. It says, even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. Let me ask a question. So based on what we just read, is it true that we can turn our lives in a different direction with our tongue? That's what I read. Just like we could turn the car in a different direction with the steering wheel. So if we don't like the direction we're going in a car, what do? If we're going the wrong way, we just turn and change direction. If we don't like the direction, is moaning and groaning and complaining going to change the direction of our life? No. Is wringing your hands and praying all night going to change the direction? I heard some say no. What about the rest of you? No, it's not going to. Now, there's nothing wrong with praying all night as long as you get some direction, and when you get the direction, you're supposed to say what that direction is. And so the direction for our life is going to come out of our mouth, and that is exactly what Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it comes the issues of life, comes the directions for your life. And it says, watch what you think, because it will affect your entire life. So, let me ask this question. Can we control our bodies with our words? Yes, we can. And see, here's the key right here. His word says we can, so let me ask a question. And this is for the Bible students here and the ones that are listening and viewing. Can we control addictions, habits, lusts, and other kinds of appetites with our words? So those folks that are stumbling with habits, addictions, appetites, and are saying, I just can't stop. This is so hard. Mm-hmm. Really? And so anything that you need to change the direction of or get victory over is going to come through your words, not God's. Your words have more weight and effect in your life than anybody else in your life, even God. Amen. Even God. Amen. Because he has already decreed, he has redeemed all mankind. He's already redeemed them. He paid the price. And man has a choice to accept it. And if they don't, whatever you decree in your life, whatever you forbid, heaven forbids. Whatever you allow, heaven allows. And so God has called you redeemed. He's called you healed. What are you saying? Because God will honor your words. And so that's an important key, especially when we minister to people, family, friends, work acquaintances, whoever we run into, listen to what they're saying. Because they can change and get the victory in their life by changing their words. Nothing wrong with praying with people, and I'm certainly not here to say that we don't pray with them. But what ends up happening, I sat for however many years I sat with Pastor Sarah, and every time people call and they just say a prayer, just say a prayer. It's like this little, rub your head and do all this kind of stuff and just pray with me. But yet, they don't want to listen to the Word of God. They just think that a prayer is going to solve the problem. And they're the problem. What's coming out of their mouth is the problem. I don't want to generalize and say that's everyone, because there are other circumstances that can be involved and other factors. But most times when you listen to people on the phone, especially in that setting, their mouth is their problem. And it's important that we understand that we can change whatever habit we have. I don't care what it is. Whatever thing we're stumbling with, we can change that with our words. Whatever the governor listeth, whatever the governor decides, you are the governor over your ship, which is your body. And so he says that we put bits in our mouths, in the horse's mouth, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. So that means we can have the victory over everything in our lives through our words. And that's important to grasp, because whether it's personally or in a ministry corporately, if we don't say what God says, if we don't speak His word, we will never see what He has decreed. We won't see it. We won't walk in it. And so that's why it's important that if God says, that property is yours, I'm not saying anything else but that. That's it. It's done for me. I don't have to know anything else. I don't have to say anything else. And He will begin to unfold the particulars of how to do that. But all I have to do is say what He said. And it's the same thing in His Word. No matter what it looks like, no matter what it feels like, if God has said that I can pray and ask Him for wisdom, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who upbraideth not and giveth to all men liberally, then if I lack wisdom in an area, then I'm going to pray for it and believe that I receive it because He said it, and then I'm going to go on. What does faith say? Faith says, thank you, Father, I believe I received the wisdom when I prayed. Now I have it. And you don't feel any different. You don't look any different. And as far as you're concerned, in the natural, you're still bumping around. Because that's no different. See, that's no different than a person who's struggling with cigarettes, or a person who's struggling with liquor, or a person who's struggling with eating. When are you going to start saying that you have the victory? See, most people will say, they'll start a little bit, and they're struggling, and they'll say, yeah, but I'm still struggling. So I'm not this. I'm saying it, but I'm still falling into this. I'm still smoking. I'm still drinking. I'm still struggling with something, whatever that is. Faith speaks and calls those things that be or be not. It calls those things that be not what is not. You're not walking in the victory in this area, but you're speaking those things that be not. So a person who's struggling with something needs to be saying, I thank you, Father, that I'm delivered from these cigarettes, while they're puffing, while they're buying the cigarettes. Thank you, Father. I thank you that I have the victory over this. Thank you that I'm delivered from cigarettes. And you keep saying, now that sounds silly, but see, faith is silly to the person who's calling those things that be. Faith is not silly for the person who calls those things that be not. Why? Because they're convinced and they say it. See, now what happens is that at the beginning, somebody who's saying something, it's like all of us. I've said things through the years. You just say it by habit. And you don't know when the believing kicks in. You just say stuff. You ever hear somebody said, you know, somebody lies enough, then they believe the lie. Ah, really? Because they've been saying it so much, then they believe it. They literally believe the lie that they've told. Well, that's the principle. You keep saying something long enough, you begin to now believe that which you say. And so a person may start out saying, I believe I'm delivered from these cigarettes. I believe I'm delivered from these cigarettes. I believe I'm delivered from this alcohol. Look, 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 look. I believe I'm delivered from this alcohol. But the point is that they keep saying it, as they're doing and stumbling through it, and at some point they believe it, and they go, I can't do this anymore. I can't do this anymore. Deliverance has come. And it's no different than us. Whether you see it or you don't see it, you keep saying what God has said. You keep decreeing it, and at some point, the believing kicks in. And that word that's now spoken produces fruit. It produces something. It produces a result. And those words, just like God said at the beginning in Genesis, light be, and it was, same thing. You keep saying it, keep saying it, keep saying it, and then boom, a reaction. See? So for us, I don't care what it is you're believing for, you keep saying it and saying it and saying it. You may not have two nickels to rub together, but you say, I thank God my bank account's full. I thank you that I walk, and I thank you that, Father, I'm a millionaire. I thank you that I have the wisdom to manage millions. I thank you for this company that you're giving me. Whatever it is you're believing for, you keep saying that, keep saying it, keep saying it, keep saying it, keep saying it, keep saying it. It may take months, may take years. You keep saying it, and then bang, doors open. And you're walking in what you've decreed. You've changed the direction of your ship. What did Pastor Judy say? The Holy Ghost said, poor is passing over opportunities repeatedly. And some of those passing over opportunities is with this. We need to keep saying, I am abundantly blessed. My bank accounts are full. I have this, I have this, I have this, I have this. And you will have it. And that's what's going to happen here and is happening here, that God is beginning to show us things for this ministry, and it's going to take just exactly this principle to get it. It's going to take this principle. We keep saying it, keep saying it, keep saying it, keep saying it, keep saying it. Got it. And the Holy Ghost is going to stir the people that own that, and it's going to be a spoil to us, to those that believe. The ones that don't believe, they'll say, that's nuts. How could you ever get that? I don't know, but God can, and he's going to give it to us. So, if you control your mouth, you control your life. You control your mouth, you control your life. So, a lot of times, again, as we said, people don't equate saying with doing. That's the first place. You've got to say it and keep saying it and keep saying it. I'm just going to read some scriptures off. You can jot them down. In Proverbs 6:2, it says, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. The NIV says you're trapped or you're caught by your own words. The BBE says you're taken as in a net by the words of your mouth. You're snared. You're trapped. See? I'll read this here. This is Proverbs 13:2. It says, a man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the transgressor shall eat violence. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life. Or the complete Jewish Bible says, he who guards his mouth preserves his life. This is the New Living Translation. This is Proverbs 13:3. Those who control their tongue will have a long life. A quick retort can ruin everything. So we need to watch what comes out of our mouth. Let's turn over to Proverbs 18. And we know this particular scripture, Proverbs 18:20. Proverbs 18:20. It says, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. This is a complete Jewish Bible. I like this. This is Proverbs 18:20. Says a person's belly will be filled with the fruit, or you could say the byproduct or the produce of his mouth. With what his lips produce, he will be filled. With the increase. See, that's what the King James says. With the increase of your lips, you shall be filled. With the increase of his lips, he shall be filled. The complete Jewish Bible says, with what his lips produce, he will be filled. If you're speaking abundance, you'll be filled with that. If you're speaking overflow, that's what you're going to be filled with. If you talk lack, that's what you're going to be filled with. That's what you're going to have. So we need to watch, as this says here, death and life can come out of the same, can come out of his mouth. Now let's turn over, let's turn forward to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. And Luke chapter 19 and verse 22. Says, and he saith unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee. Out of thy own mouth I will judge thee. Now let's turn to some familiar scriptures. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32. says, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him I will confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him I also deny, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven." So you can see here that the Father's response varies according to what who says, according to what we say. His response varies according to what we say. If we accept, then he responds accordingly. If we deny, he also responds in a different way. He says he denies before my Father. So as I said before, your words that you speak have more weight in your life than anybody else, even God's. Matthew 12. In verse 36, it says, "But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment." 37, "For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." Now, I got a few minutes left. Let's turn to Hebrews, because I want to share. It's either going to be now or Sunday. So give me a few more minutes here. Hebrews chapter 3, and look at verse 1. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1. It says, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus." And that word profession, if you look in the other translations and you look it up in the Greek, it means homologia and it means confession. It means to say the same thing as. So you're to say the same thing as he has, as he says. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23. It says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised." So we're to hold fast the confession of our faith. Now I'll read this scripture, Job 22:28, "Thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee." Now, let's turn over to Numbers. We'll start here. Numbers chapter 13. I want us to look at this. We pretty much, you know, we read this story about how they were delivered out of Egypt and God showed them the land that they were to go into, took them out of bondage. And the 12 spies went into the Canaan land to spy out the land. And we read this story, but I think it's important. Let's start with verse 25 and verse 13. I'm sorry, chapter 13, verse 25. It says, "And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel." So they went to not just the leaders, but they went to all the children of Israel, "unto the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, We came into the land whither thou sentest, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. But, nevertheless, The people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. Now, I want you to just, I'm going to read this real quick, but I want you to see what it is they're saying in reference to what God has said. God has said, I gave you the land. Go in and take it. Spy it out, but you're going to take it. It's your land. They come back and they say, but, and they start listing all the buts. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. That's no different than today. We list all the reasons why we can't do it, can't be healed, can't go here, can't have this. We're going to list all the buts. So it says here, but, and it says, and Caleb had enough. He stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. How did they know that? They didn't know. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel. It is absolutely important what leaders decree. Because you can change the whole direction of what God has promised and get yourself in a whole lot of trouble. So it says here, the land through which we have gone to search it, it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in their own sight as grasshoppers. How'd they know that? They didn't know that. And so we were. They're decreeing some things. And so we were in their sight. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. You know, it's an interesting thing. Faith, like Caleb, says, let's go do it. Let's take it right now. Fear and unbelief starts to wail and cry, which is what they did here. They lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept all night. And all the children of Israel murmured against who? Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt. My goodness. Or would God we had died in this wilderness. See, watch what they're saying here. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us up unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be prey? Were it not better for us to return unto Egypt? Here the Lord has brought them out of Egypt with a mighty hand. It's something, isn't it? And they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return back into bondage. Back into Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. You know, people of faith can't stand unbelief. And people of unbelief can't stand faith. Which is exactly what they did. They wanted to pick up stones and stone Moses and them. They just gave him a hard time. They don't like to hear faith. And neither do people of unbelief. Or people of faith don't want to hear unbelief either. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land. This is what Caleb and Joshua are saying. They're saying this to the children of Israel. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. But all the congregation bade, in other words, they wanted to stone them with stones. Unbelief responds an interesting way, right? To faith. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. And the Lord said unto them, Moses, how long will this people provoke me, and how long will it be ere they believe me? For all the signs which I have showed among them, I will smite them with the pestilence and disherit them, and I will make them make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they. And you can continue to read. He talks about what he's going to do. And what is in verse 17, Moses said, and now I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great according as thou hast spoken. The Lord is long-suffering and great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people according unto the greatness of thy mercy, and as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. Now look at verse 21. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they will not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Verse 25, now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwell in the valley. Tomorrow turn you and get you into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Now look at verse 28. This is the key. Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in my ears, so will I do to you. As you have spoken in my ears, so will I do unto you. They decreed, we're going to go into the wilderness. Let's go back. We can't take this. And the Lord said, okay, wander around the wilderness. You're going to have exactly what you said. That's strong medicine, isn't it? So what God is saying to us is that we need to watch what we say. We need to watch what we decree in our lives, because you are the governor that steers the ship in the direction of your life. And we also are the ones, we get the direction from on high, but this congregation is intricately involved and intimately involved in the direction for this ministry. Everybody understand that? Just the same way Moses gave some directions, they went into the land to spy it out, and they came back, and 10 of them brought up an evil report. And it affected and polluted the children of Israel. And so they wandered around until they all died off, and God said, you'll not go in and see it. But he still gave them the land, and they still went in and possessed it, but just not the ones that brought up the evil report. And so we, as the church, we are going to take that land. We are going to have it. And God has been decreeing and prophesying through the year, from the beginning of this ministry right up till now, saying various things. And if you can't see it, then I don't know what to say to you, but you've got to, you know, the Lord prompted me last year, the year before, to pull out the prophecy by Dr. Price at the time, Apostle Price. And he was here at our fifth anniversary here, 1990. And he just, right in the middle of his message, began to speak in tongues and began to share something and said, "You're not going to stay here." He said, "I know you like it, but," he said, "take pictures because you're not staying here." He said, "Now you can stay here, but God won't be in it." And I said, "Well, I'm not staying." And so God has recently been showing us where we're going. So to even think, well, you know, maybe we'll stay here and we'll do something, wrong. God said, "We're not staying here." Does everybody get that? Does everybody understand that? We are not staying here in this building. This building is not our final place. That is. That mall is. Because in that prophecy that Dr. Price gave at the time, he said the people that he's sending won't be able to fit in here. Hello? Do you know, have you any idea what that one building is over there? This building here has got about 100,000 square feet. That Sears building has got 170,000 square feet. Bigger. Better. Hello? We're not staying in this building. So if anybody wants to share their revelation with me about what they see here, don't. Please don't. Because I'm sharing from you, from me to you. We're not staying in this building. And God has been revealing it. So we need to change our thinking and change our words to get in line with what God is saying. And that's changing the direction. And so we get everybody speaking the same thing, thinking the same thing, and it is important. It is absolutely important that we say the same things. Because this says here, God said, "As you have spoken in my ears, so will I do to you." Well, I want to say what he's saying, not what I think. Because, you know, we all can think some things. And quite honestly, it's, you know, in all fairness, it's really only been within the last 2 years, maybe a year to 2 years, that I've seen clearly we're not staying here. Clearly, we're not staying in this building. Because up to that point, you know, the revelation wasn't there. Because it was, well, you know, maybe we'll stay in this building and maybe we'll do something with it and whatever and we'll have that. No. God had to kind of just say, "Hey, buddy, what did I say?" And I said, "Yeah, you're right. You're right. We're not staying here." And every time my mind wants to wander over there, the prophecy comes up. What did Dr. Price say? We're not staying here. So that's why for us, when we speak, we all of one voice and one lip need to say what he has said. And it is important in your own life that you say what you want the outcome to be. You'd keep decreeing that and keep saying it until it comes to pass. I mean, I have, and I continue, you know, Pastor Greg always uses this, you know, where basketball is concerned, that no matter what level of basketball you play, whether you're playing intermediate, whether you're playing at a professional level, there's always fundamentals involved. There's basic fundamentals that are involved. And that's the same thing here. Whether you're believing for a parking space or you're believing for a mall, the fundamentals are still the same. You're going to have to, what are the fundamentals? Faith in God and confessing and decreeing what he said and doubting not, but believing the things that you say shall come to pass, you shall have whatsoever you sayeth. That's a fundamental. And so we're going to do that here. We're going to say what he says. And I'm believing that in your own life, those things that you need to correct and change, you keep saying it and saying it and saying it. And that fundamental is the same whether you're walking through something or somebody lays hands on you. See, sometimes we get excited about somebody who lays hands on you for something, and you walk away, you have to mix faith with that. You've got to begin to decree, thank you, Father, I believe hands were laid upon me, and I receive that which you have imparted to me, and it's working in me. And you keep saying it and saying it and saying it until you have it. Does that make sense? Because sometimes, Brother Hagin had shared, he'd lay hands on people. He knew the healing power of God would go in them, and they'd have a victory for a short period of time. And then when those symptoms tried to come back on their body, they didn't confess the word over or decree what they had received, and they started to say, well, I guess I didn't receive my healing, and lost it, and didn't decree and profess what the word says. You're going to have to, see, you're going to receive sometimes from the laying on of hands or from special impartations from God, but you maintain by confessing the word of God. You maintain by faith. Is that right? That's how you're going to maintain and walk a victorious life. Amen. Praise God. Well, let's close. Hope you got a little something. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that your word is ever being revealed to us. And we thank you for the words of faith and the words of grace that have been deposited in our hearts. And we thank you, Father, that we've come up another level of faith. We thank you that we've watered that which is there. And we believe to receive and bring forth an abundant harvest in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.